The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's suddenly spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. As liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, here with you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, 15th of June, 2012. And coming up on the broadcast here in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to have Andrew Goss on with me. And we're going to be talking a little bit about, well, what are the banksters up to? Well, if you, and we have kept people really informed about what the banks have been up to. You know, as I said 20 years ago, after reading books on Federal Reserve, discovering it's a fiat money system, tracking and tracing the histories of fiat systems, to find that none of them have lasted more than 100 years, I paid close attention to the date. Whoops. Well, we've been doing this for 79, 80 years. Looks like the shelf life of this puppy is ready to give it up. So here we are, 2012, just 1 year away from the 100th anniversary of our vaunted Federal Reserve System. And is it going to make it through the year? I don't know. It ain't looking real good. Mr. Obama decided he wanted to address the economy yesterday and, you know, money and everything else. Jobs are priority number one. So what does he do today? Turns right around and gives basically, it can only be described as a backdoor amnesty for 16-year-olds in this country. They go to college. You know, they're responsible. If they don't have a criminal history, they can get a 2-year work visa, and then they can renew. But what? When he start talking about, and he inject, I'd like to know who in the heck is his scriptwriter. Because he injected in his little speech today three or four times about, well, this is going to help the farmers and the growers. What, the kids that have graduated high school that want to go to college? You're telling me they want to go out and pick what, lettuce? And Napolitano comes out with her little spiel. I've got a clip of that we'll play later. Picked it up off of Fox News. That, you know, this is all fine and dandy. You know, everything is going to be great. Well, why would we be dealing, and Obama, by the way, today admitted, yeah, they've been coming across the border for 40 years. Yeah, we know. So all of these fandangled little exercises, should we check, is it racial profiling, they're already inside the country. And Napolitano said, you know, we can't keep splitting up resources here with the illegal aliens. Well, we wouldn't have had to have if we would have sealed the border up how many years ago? It's all designed to give you one gigantic headache. We'll take a break here. On the other side, Andrew Goss from andygoss.com. Education on the United States money system. We'll get edumacated. We'll be right back.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, no attorneys. What? Eliminate all your unsecured debt in about 8 days and keep all your money. You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GET-BERKEY. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
My guest today is... I'm sorry. Am I...
I lost him.
You lost him. Well, get him back. Well, I might as well tell you who the guy is that he's going to get right back. Andy Goss, he's attracted a wide following. He's done over 1,000 TV and radio appearances, publishes a newsletter, The World of Money, in its 20th year, and he's authored 2 books, one of which, The Secret World of Money, challenges a wide range of topics dealing with the history and the future of money. And the other book that he wrote... was Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. Well, they've been cooking for many, many years. And he also does the newsletter, The World of Money, as I said, that he's been doing that for 20 years. Do I have Andy now? I've got Andrew Goss now. Hello, Mr. Goss.
Well, hello there.
How you doing?
Well, not too bad, but I've been better.
Okay. You know, I always say that, Andy, to people. They ask, you know, it's a polite little societal thing. Hey, how you doing? I just look at them anymore. Do you want to know the truth or is...
Right. You want to just hear fine?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the case. And with the things going on in the financial system, my blood pressure is as high as it's ever been. And
well...
Just, brinksmanship seems to be the new game.
Well, lying and withholding vital information seems to be the call of the day. We're looking at the European Union. Greece has got an election coming up Sunday. Everybody is looking to Germany to bail everybody out, and Germany is saying, wait a minute, we're in debt as well. We've got the UK finance minister, George Osborne. He's saying it on the wires, but nobody, Ben Bernanke or nobody else, will say anything. It looks like it's about time for another bailout here. In Europe, they call them austerity. Here, Uncle Ben called them quantitative easing. Now, the cat's out of the bag. People are finding out how much debt that they have floated off these derivatives, off the real estate. And people are starting to catch on. Andy, as you understand the system and what's going on, how long do you think the European Union has before this thing starts breaking up?
Well, without extraordinary action, I give them about 60 days. The type of extraordinary action that's required, however, is something that Germany has been resisting the entire period, and that is the idea of single unified bank regulator, single unified bond, and single unified taxing authority for the entire Eurozone. Now, they're going to put their heads together this weekend, and I bet you that sometime next week we'll hear the semblance of a plan that will do just that.
Well, it all sounds fine and dandy, letting one person in control of it, but these are sovereign nations that enter into economic agreements. They're trying to use one currency, and that's not working out too well for them. But on top of all of this, you know, have you heard anybody on the media? You know, we were talking about bailouts. George Bush started it with his $700 billion. We had Hank Paulson running around literally on the floor of Congress, arm-twisting and telling people, look, if you do not do this, the entire system is going to collapse and there'll be martial law. I mean, this is what the man was doing. And, you know, where does he come from? Well, he comes on board with George Bush directly from, was it Goldman Sachs?
Indeed, yeah, one of the primary owners of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Yeah. And I would say that at the very least, Andy, a conflict of interest. But evidently, Mr. Bush saw it as their true inside guy. And if they're going to start arranging one of the biggest hijackings in U.S. history, or let's broaden it out a little bit, in the history of mankind, well, then you've got to have your insiders close at hand.
No question about it. In fact, you know, George Santayana famously said that those that fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. And if you look at the bank wars between Andrew Jackson and Nicholas Biddle back in the 1830s, when he abolished our second central bank, he, in fact, had to fire the Treasury Secretary, the Assistant Treasury Secretary, and the Assistant's Assistant before he found someone that wasn't connected to the banking giants. So the first person he gave the order to withdraw all the government's money from this bank flatly refused the president's order, as I'm sure Timothy Geithner would do. And his assistant, I'm certain, is probably from the same banking community that Mr. Geithner is from. And who knows how far down the Treasury ladder we would have to go before we found somebody who actually operated in the people's best interest, not the bank's.
Well, and I find it rather odd. We had this little banking crisis, of which J.P. Morgan himself, back in 1907, beginning of last century, was sure he was there to make sure that everybody understood that, well, there's ongoing banking crises, and, well, we've got to have this. So it took them almost 6 years later until they were able to implement the Emergency Banking Act of 1913. Now, what a lot of people didn't realize was that this is a private corporation moving in, and whatever widgets they made, whether they made milk bottles or dollar bills, in my estimation, doesn't really matter. But here was a private corporation moving in, centralized the bank, and basically run our economy.
Exactly right. And, you know, I mean, I guess there are some things that should be privatized. You could make that argument that there are a great many services that government provides that could be better provided by the private sector. But in this day and age, it seems insane to me that Congress would spend $1,000 that it doesn't have, and instead of simply printing $1,000, they would issue a bond. I owe you $1,000. And then they turn to the Federal Reserve and say, you guys print the $1,000 and loan it to us. I mean, that is just the most insane system of all. So it only makes sense in my mind to take the entire operations of the Federal Reserve banks and move them into the Treasury. If the Federal Reserve Board can be an agency of government, then so can the Federal Reserve banks.
Well, the argument has been, Andy, playing devil's advocate, you're going to actually let the government control the banking system? Oh, my God.
You know what's ironic about that? And I've heard that same argument before. You're absolutely right. That's the number one reason for an independent Fed, and I'm using my air quotes here, because I have never seen, even since the Humphrey Hawkins testimony, where the Fed is now compelled to come before Congress and at least pretend to tell them the truth, I have never heard a Fed chairman say to Congress, you can't raise the debt ceiling, you can't spend more than you're taking in taxes. That's what they're supposed to do, right? Remove the politics from the situation. If you just let Congress spend however much money they want, next thing you know, we'll be $16 trillion in debt. That's exactly what they did. They have never restrained Congress in any form or fashion from spending whatever money they wanted to spend. In fact, last year alone, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York bought 61% of the bonds issued by the Treasury with money that they created out of thin air. But once again, you know, putting Congress in charge of the presses themselves instead of just allowing them to make bonds that cause interest and debt, I don't think we'd be any worse off than we are right now. Well, maybe we'd be better off because we wouldn't be paying $500 billion a year in interest to these bankers.
Yeah, $500 billion a year just for the luxury of borrowing money from the Fed Reserve, it doesn't sound like a sound policy to me. Seeing how, and I'm sure you've heard this a million and one times, Andy Goss, that, you know, God, they're up there on Capitol Hill spending like drunken sailors. No, that's not accurate, because a drunken sailor in whatever port quits spending money when he runs out.
Precisely. That's an insult to drunken sailors.
I'm telling you. Join the Navy. Learn economics. When you're broke, you're broke.
You're broke. Yeah. Yeah, when you're in a hole, stop digging. And theoretically, right, this is what the Fed is supposed to do, because that's the argument. If you let Congress just print money and spend it however they want, why, they're just going to go crazy. And that's what they've done, as Dick Cheney famously suggested. Deficits don't matter. It certainly doesn't matter to a politician, because they know that whatever crazy spending they do, the rest of us might say, we're not going to loan you the money. China might say, we're not going to loan you the money. But at the end of the day, the Federal Reserve simply prints the money and loans it to them. So there is no way that they can ever fail to spend just as much as they want under the current system.
Well, and herein lies the problem. We used to have people like China and others around the world buying our T-bills. But the problem was, prior to, I think, 07, it was costing the federal government $3 billion a day to run things. And, of course, we didn't have the banking crisis, the onset of that, for another year. So here we are, 4 or 5 years into the great banking crisis, as I call it, the Second Depression. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, wait a minute, there's something a little different between the First Depression and the second one. Well, first of all, we're kind of in a recession. They have not come out and called it depression. Now, I check the numbers. I look at the true unemployment numbers. I look at the rate of inflation we've got right now. And it's damn sure looking like depression numbers to me. In 1932-33, 25% of the workforce was actually out of work. And that included all the people that had lost jobs and had given up looking for jobs and what other flim-flam they tried to throw at the American public. There were 25% of the people of this country unemployed. That means earning no money. We're close to those numbers right now. My sources have it pegged at about 22%. And if we look across the pond over there in Greece and Spain, guess what is happening over there? 25% plus unemployment. So there's one big difference, though, Andy, between now and then. Then we didn't have this massive debt that we're carrying around. We were coming out of an agrarian culture, firing up the furnaces, so to speak. We were going into manufacturing in a whole new era. And we're not as in much danger. I'd much rather have the format of the last depression. Hell, that would be easy to get out of. Now, debt everywhere. We've got to take this break. We'll be right back with Andy Goss, who will be with us this hour. So we'll get to some more meat of the subject here. those rascals, those international bankster gangsters and their 12 members operating inside the country.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372. Or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim.
All right, we are back. Vladimir Lenin. We all know who Vladimir was, founder of the Russian Communist Party and the architect of the Bolshevik Revolution. He said the surest way to overthrow an established social order is to debauch its currency. And then John Maynard Keynes chimed in on that. And by the way, he was the economist and advisor to the bankers, and he's the architect of FDR's and America's deficit spending. Franklin Delano Roosevelt did that, folks, back in the 30s, spending one's way out of bankruptcy, and I'm quoting Keynes here. He says, Lenin was certainly right. There's no more positive or subtler, no sure means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of the economic law on the side of destruction, and it does it in a manner that not one man in a million is able to diagnose. Things are changing in that arena. Andy Goss,
yep.
What is the Fed not telling us about the future of the U.S. economy? What secrets are they keeping from us?
You know, I published a quarterly newsletter, The World of Money, and it's been around, I guess, since the mid-'80s. And I used to publish every quarter the total money supply versus the total government bonded debt. And so it was easy to get a figure. How much money's in circulation? How much money's in circulation? Along around the mid-90s, early 2000s, they stopped telling us how much money was in circulation. That figure L was no longer published. Now, unfortunately, because of their willingness to monetize any debt instrument, I believe we have to add a new measure to the money supply, one that the Fed certainly knows, and that is potential money. So perfect example is the $1.25 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities that the Federal Reserve bought with newly created money from the banks that own the system. So if that $1.25 trillion didn't exist before, all they had were debt instruments that represented that much money. And in the 30s, that would have been bankruptcy for those folks. Hey, sorry, your mortgage-backed securities are bad. You're bankrupt. End of story. But if the Fed is willing to create $1.25 trillion for that and another trillion for the European banking entities, well, then we have to look what is the potential money that they might create. If you look at the IMF's website, get their figures on worldwide derivatives, you'll see that figure gives us our new number, quadrillion. And we just got used to the old number, the trillion number, and now we have to introduce a new one, the quadrillion. Three more zeros, folks. And certainly if the Fed is willing to monetize everything up to and including the last derivatives contract, then the potential for a 100 times more money to enter circulation than exists right now is a very real possibility.
Now, you said that was on which website?
International Monetary Fund, IMF.
Well, and that's very interesting because the news media refuses to report. Now, Andy, if you take your car in for a repair, and if you're not driving a 1969 Volkswagen, say you're driving a Jaguar or whatever, a BMW, it's out of warranty. You take your car in to get it repaired. Aren't you going to ask the simple question, well, how much is this going to cost me? Well, you know, we may find other issues. Okay, but this is about how much it, yeah. So when you go and pick the car up, do I accept from the guy that repaired my car, oh, well, we're not going to tell you how much it costs. We're just going to debit one of your accounts. Would you put up with that?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
So,
and that's effectively, though, what the government is doing. They're not telling.
That's exactly right. But my point about this is that I caught it on Bloomberg last week, and I'd forget the man that was sitting there, but the interviewer was questioning him, what about Europe and this, that, and the other, and he slid in there. Well, the debt is about 800 to a quadrillion dollars. He signified it in dollars. That's about what the debt is. And the interviewer did not, I kid you not, Andy, without pausing, taking a breath, doing anything, he glossed right over that. And unless you were listening, you did not hear it. But you're saying to me that this is available to all news media, then go up to the IMF site, and there's a true measure of the debt. Well, it's about a quadrillion. That's $1,000 trillion. Why is it the media not reporting on that?
That's a very good question. You know, somebody was showing me a report the other day that all of the major media in this country is controlled, except for your show, by six corporations. What on earth? And then when you look at the composition of those six corporations, you'll find that these are the institutions that are intimately connected to the owners of the Federal Reserve. So I'm not surprised.
Would you call that?
Rare journalist out there that would actually follow up on that and go and look at the official figure.
Would you call that a small conflict of interest?
I would. But as you pointed out with Henry Paulson, you know, or even if you go back to the Clinton era, remember when Robert Rubin was telling the Congress that we needed to help our friends in Mexico because they couldn't default on their debt. You remember the Mexican bailout?
Oh, yes.
And that one was $60 billion. What Mr. Rubin didn't tell Congress was that it was his firm that owned all of these Mexican bonds that were going to default. And that if Congress didn't pay up, then Goldman Sachs would take it on the chin. So these conflicts of interest are inherent, I think, in a position where we're pulling from the owners of the Federal Reserve banks, which operate for a profit. We're pulling our members of the Treasury Department from the ranks of the owners of the Federal Reserve banks. You remember Paul O'Neill?
Oh, yes.
He was in there for just a brief moment. He actually revealed for the first time what many of us knew, that the total government debt potential obligations exceeded $70 trillion.
And he was asked to leave rather rapidly. Yeah. Okay, we'll take the break. We're talking today with Andy Goss. AndyGoss.com. I'll spell you the guy's name when we get back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, John, you know, we were kind of wondering
what?
That, well, we knew you guys were saving stuff and getting ready for something like
yes.
this. So what I'm trying to say
the answer is no.
Man, I've been your friend for 20 years. We played on the company softball team together.
We simply don't have enough food.
But I'm your friend.
Look, Norbert, I came to you 3 years ago, and you basically called me crazy and walked away.
But...
sorry.
Bummer.
Folks, they may be rolling their eyes at you now, but they'll be on your front porch when it all hits the fan. So why don't you mosey on over to TexasReady.net and order up a Liberty Seed Bank for you, your sure-tailed relatives, and all your non-prepping friends. Order your bank at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Andy, on the... well, first of all, let me do what I said I was going to do after the bottom of the hour break. The website... AndyGoss.com. Goss is spelled G-A-U-S-E, AndyGoss.com. Pretty easy. Just bookmark it, and you'll be able to go there. A lot of good stuff on there, folks. A lot to do with the banking system and the economy and all of those things. This is what I've been... We called the recession back in the early part of 06. We knew 08 was coming, and we knew what was going to happen after that. You know, it was kind of strange when we're talking about the media now being owned by six individuals that are all connected one way or another to the money masters. 20 years ago, Andy, I figured out this much, that the media wasn't telling us all the news that we should be able to hear, that they were, well, they were pre-packaging and pre-digesting for our consumption, our ease of consumption. Can't give the public too much stuff. They might choke on it. And it was interesting that Koppel, Ted Koppel, on the Nightline was quoted as saying that we really don't do the news. And when we do, we don't give you much detail. And if you really want all the backstory, go to the fringe media. So, there, you know, here's one of the trusted late-night television shows that's supposed to give you a recap on the world's most important issues. telling the listeners of that show, well, if you want to come here for the news, and don't bother, just go to those alternative guys. They'll give you all the news.
Well, if you want news. In fact, I read transcripts where one of the major news networks argued that its show wasn't news. It was entertainment. And that it had no obligation to tell the news. That it had an obligation to entertain the audience.
And
I guess that's a good...
Yeah,
that's their attitude.
I remember that, and was that Fox News? There were a couple of
indeed it was. Yeah, it was Fox News.
And I forget the report that they were doing, and
it was on Monsanto's
yes.
Involvement in the milk industry in Florida.
Yes, and they were told, well, you know, that's pretty good, but we need you to edit and rewrite the copy. And
right. Take all this stuff out.
Yeah,
and the news reporters, having worked hard on the story, were offended. They're true news people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what those corporations do. Incidentally, they hire, hey, you're a good news person, good. We're going to hire you just to make sure that you don't accidentally report something. And that's what these two did. They accidentally reported something, and so the Iron Fist came out and told them what to remove from the piece. They refused, and it ended up in court. And in court, the lawyers for the news organization argued in their pleading that they were not a news organization, even though their name was news, that they were an entertainment venue, and that's what they had to do, entertain the troops.
Well,
and I guess if you understand the system, that's not a surprise. I remember John Swinton was New York Times lead correspondent. He retired. At his retirement dinner, he gave a famous speech on an independent press. And, boy, he must have had a few drinks in him. I did a YouTube video on the thing and put it up. It's exactly that, an independent press by John Swinton. It's back in the 40s, too. And he made it very clear even then that since the days of the founding of the Federal Reserve, one of the very first things they isolated were the media outlets, which at the time were a lot easier to capture than they are today. But they did a very good job of it, and Mr. Swinton knew it, and he revealed it at his retirement. I think it was great.
Well, and I have read that entire speech that he gave, and man, that was my reaction at first. I thought, you know what, this guy grew some hair under his armpits. You know, he had
a few martinis beforehand while they were introducing him.
Yeah, I was like, go ahead, Swinton, go ahead, tell the truth. Well,
between that and Smedley Butler, the other one, War is a Racket,
yeah.
By Lieutenant General Smedley Butler. Butler, you know, here's an army officer, a Marine general, as I recall, you know, telling the other side of it how we use our army to back the dollar effectively. You know, F-16s and Marines, that's what backs the Federal Reserve notes, not gold and silver, mm-hmm. as our Constitution intended.
Well, we had this other little deal that we cooked up because all the damage that World War II caused. We started that oil burst. Borse, rather.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
That we need to rebuild everything. So let's just tie the dollar directly to crude.
Yeah, and if you'll do that, instead of paying us reparations, we'll give you the money to rebuild your economy. Now, you know, just as a point of reference there, you look at what happened in Germany from 1945 to 1959, how we took a totally demolished, war-torn, ravaged nation and rebuilt it to full production within 14 years. And it makes you wonder, we wouldn't be in this, and I'm using my air quotes here, recession, if they wanted us out of it. I mean, plain and simple. The fact of the matter is that Timothy Geithner's entire academic career was spent criticizing the activities of the Federal Reserve during the first Great Depression, and how if they would have simply done what he did, that they wouldn't have had to go through that, instead of letting the companies go bankrupt, letting the economy burn itself out so that it could rebuild from at least some semblance of order, they could have bailed everybody out, simply created the additional money. This argument, really, whether it's true or not, it sheds light on what he intends to do, and that is not make the same mistakes that the Federal Reserve made in the first Depression.
Well, in rebuilding Germany, though, there was somebody in the background that stood to make great gain out of the rebuilding. What a racket. You can loan money to go destroy, and then you can loan more money to rebuild.
Amen. Yeah, and that is, of course, why they loan to sovereigns. I think the the Rothschild banking family primarily has made a fortune over 12-plus generations doing exactly this. If you look at Benjamin Disraeli's quote, in 1857, at the marriage of Leonora, the head of the House of Rothschild declared at her wedding in 1857 that he would divide the United States in half, half for one son, Lionel, and half for the other son, James. And that would seem to be so much rhetoric, except when you consider that during the Civil War, James Rothschild financed one side and Lionel Rothschild financed the other, and they made a pact, no matter which one of these sides wins, we'll make sure that they repay the debt. And so it didn't matter to them, as it never has. When you're financing both sides of a war, you know that whoever the victor is will make the vanquished pay the debt.
Absolutely. I mean, nobody gets off scot-free here. Well, the one thing that, Andy, a lot of people had a problem with was with all these bailouts, and I mentioned George's Bush. I mean, this is just the first round, $700 billion. That would look like almost pocket money now. Because
right. Yeah, that wasn't the bailout. Yeah. I think the real bailout was done in stealth, and it was partly revealed with the audit papers that Ron Paul ferreted out. Mm-hmm. We found, what was it, $16 trillion in transactions between the Federal Reserve banks and the member banks. So while Congress is doling out $700 billion, which, you know, would have been much better, to mail $2,500 to every man, woman, and child, that's about what they did, then behind the scenes, of course, the Federal Reserve Bank was injecting nearly $16 trillion into the system for liquidity. So that's the real bailout right there.
Well, and see, we still have a liquidity problem. As a matter of fact, Ben Bernanke, and I watched the hearings yesterday. Martin Krutzinger did a story, Fed could act if economy weakens.
Mm.
And last week, when asked the question, is there going to be any more quantitative easing? And at that point in time, he said, well, we don't foresee it, but if so, we're not going to tell you where the money's going.
Right.
So there's Uncle Ben being honest.
Yeah.
At least he's being honest about we're not going to tell you. Now, we've already bailed out foreign banks, Bank of England, foreign corporations. But this is not going to stop. As you pointed out, the IMF website says it's about a quadrillion. Now, that's $1,000 trillion, folks. Do you think $15 or $16 trillion is going to get the job done?
No, not possible. And that is the total money supply right now. It's actually $17.27 trillion. If you take everyone's money in any form, treasury bond, bill, note, CD, money in your checking account, money in your piggy bank, every single dollar in circulation right now, less than $18 trillion. If you're going to pay off a debt that, I mean, just current pressing debt is double and perhaps triple the money supply, then you can see where inflation is the only sane solution for these guys. They cannot allow the system to crumble because, obviously, the fertile soil of discontent is where the seeds of revolution are sown.
Well, they're going to have a major problem because all the industrialized countries on the planet are suffering the same malady. It's called,
Indeed, it's called
bankeritis. And
right.
A lot
except China. You know, they got it right. The Chinese, when Henry Kissinger went over there and kind of gave him the story, we'll be partners with you guys to take over the world, they did it with the model that they understood, a modified American system, where the central bank in China is not owned by the banks in China. The central bank in China is owned by the government of China. So our central bank, our Federal Reserve, is owned by the banks that are members of the system, so J.P. Morgan, Goldman, Citi, and the others. They run the show, and they do so for a profit. In China, all of that profit gets recycled back into the system to build things like the Three Gorges Dam or to engage in currency manipulation so that their products are cheaper around the world. Either way, they're using the money for the benefit of the people, and I guess that's what communism is.
Yeah, it was once said that only Nixon can go to China. Well, with Henry Kissinger in tow, and you're absolutely right, that was the start of this new pact that was being planned out to basically, and I warned people about this, Andy, I said, what is happening right now because of these trade agreements? Well, it's open borders here for Chinese trade. The goods flowing into this country always has been. But let's legitimize them. Let's make them a most favored nation trading partner. Yeah, how's that been working out for us? Well, now everybody can go to China.
Well, that's right. Here, let me give you an illustration, okay? You take a Jeep Wagoneer, $27,000 vehicle right out of a Jeep factory, and you take it over to China. After you're done paying your tariffs, you have to sell it for $85,000 before you can make a profit. We don't have free trade or fair trade with China. All of our goods going into their country are heavily taxed. And here's the most obscene example of all. We have chicken processing plants in Arkansas. We have them in Delaware. Byproduct of chicken processing plants are the chicken's feet. We don't have a use for them here in the United States, but the Chinese find them to be an incredible delicacy. So our chicken producers started packaging up the chicken feet, putting them on ice, and shipping them to China, where, of course, they can sell them for less than the Chinese chicken processor because there's absolutely no demand for them here. They're waste product. How did the Chinese respond? A 105% tariff. So even though we found a small niche where we might compete with China in a product that we might be able to make cheaper, the moment they discovered that product, they slapped a 105% tariff on it. And that's how they're building their country at the expense of ours, and we need to put a stop to it.
Well, and, yeah, remember the argument, though, that this is going to be good. Well, let's go back to... how are we doing with that system? Let's go back to 1992, the North American Free Trade Agreement with Mexico. This is going to mean millions of jobs for Mexico. We're going to fire up their economy. They're going to be able to be good little consumers, and then they'll be taxpayers. And, oh, by the way, this is going to add millions of jobs in this country as well. Everybody sit down and shut up. This is going to be great. Well, that was the first outflow, companies and corporations moving to Mexico. Then they discovered something else. They discovered China with even cheaper labor. So let's move it over there.
Yes.
And
you remember Ross Perot and the giant sucking sound.
You hear that giant sucking sound? Then your job's going to Mexico. I can remember like it was yesterday.
And he was dead on the money because, you know, how many manufacturing jobs do we have left? But again, we can fix that. You know, the very first revenue generators in this country were Coast Guard cutters. That's how come the Coast Guard is the oldest service, because what we did is the very first thing we did as a nation was stick Coast Guard cutters, revenue cutters, on our borders, and anyone who wanted to import goods in the United States had to pay a tariff, plain and simple. There were no such thing as internal taxes and an internal revenue. You didn't tax your own people. You taxed the folks that were taking advantage of your market. Once we dismantled that and moved the operations of the Treasury into the Federal Reserve, those are the two planks of the American system. The third, of course, recycling that money into internal improvements. That's what gave us our railroads and our canals and our toll roads and our interstate system. That was all a thing of the past. And unless we go back to the American system of a strong government-owned central bank, strong external tariffs, and internal improvements with the external tariff money, then we will never be the great nation that we were.
Now, you just realize, of course, you just whittled all over the globalist plan for just worldwide commerce. We're all going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's not working.
At the expense of the United States, we'll all be okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let me get back here, because I want to get into the European debt a little bit. Now, when you hear Greece is knocking on the door, they need a bailout of a couple hundred billion dollars. Or they need
for
this.
Starters.
Yeah, for starters. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Italy, by the way, the deal that's trying to be struck up now, I think it's Italy is supposed to cough up 20% of what Germany is going to send to Greece, but they've got to borrow it at 6%.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, boy, they're not even trying to hide their sins. They're just putting out in Jump Street. Now, with the few billion here and a few billion there that's being thrown around in Europe, that's really not going to do the trick. How is this debt, this European debt, which we started it here in this country, folks, in an infected worldwide, there was a lot of people out there just buying mortgage-backed securities and buying property some 20 times maybe. Who knows anymore? But how is this going to impact us here in the country?
Well, it's going to impact us because, as Mr. Bernanke has clearly pointed out, if they don't act, we will. So, you know, we will create liquidity and funnel it into the European banking system if the Germans and everyone else fail to act. But remember that there is an end game here. None of this is done by accident. We started as a nation with the Articles of Confederation. Articles of Confederation created a weak central federal government without the ability to tax and without the ability to borrow. And the only way that they could get any funds for operations were to take it from the states. And the states, of course, sometimes paid, sometimes didn't. But no matter what they did, the central authority had no power to tax and no power to spend other than what they could gather from the states. And we had continental dollars that eventually lost all value because, obviously, they had the power to emit bills of credit, and they did those wildly. This is exactly the model that was in place in Europe, where each of the member states were told they could retain their sovereignty and that this weak central government that they were creating was only going to have a common currency, as we did. And in the end, what they want is exactly what we got, which was a single national authority with taxing ability and with the ability to issue debt. So what's being dangled in front of these member countries is, in exchange for what's left of your sovereignty, we'll create a national bailout facility that's good for all 17 nations. You individual nations take any amount over 60% of your GDP in current existing debt, throw it into the pile, and then we'll issue one big treasury bond from all the people of Europe to represent this pile of debt. That's the agreement that's coming out. It's going to strengthen the ECB. It's going to give them regulatory supervision over all 17 countries and their issuance of currency. And it's going to cement the control of the international bankers over the European banking community.
Which is
what they want.
This is what they wanted from the start.
Right. Couldn't get it in one swoop, though. You had to get it incrementally. So this entire crisis is being micromanaged with the Federal Reserve waiting in the wings to, you know, rush in with the fire hose in case this experiment runs out of control.
Do you think it's going to run out of control?
I do.
So do I.
You know, and everything will happen this weekend, obviously. If the far leftists in the Greek elections are successful, they're the anti-austerity party, right? So what the rest of Europe is saying to the Greeks is you got to cut back on all these benefits you're giving and all this largesse that you're putting on your people at the expense of the other countries. And if you do that, then we'll give you a bailout. Well, the vote this weekend could effectively throw those folks that agree with that way of thinking out and put in place those that say, you know, take a walk. We're not going to cut back our benefits. If that happens, then yes, it's very likely that the Federal Reserve will then have to simply step in and create a bunch of new money in order to bail out the European banking community. What it's going to mean to us? Well, you've seen what gold is doing. It's just steadily rising. Silver steadily rising because the more dollars you create, the less they're going to be worth.
And I've always reminded people, you know, Wall Street will tell you that gold and silver is nothing but a commodity.
Barbarous relic.
Yes. And oil is just like oil or wheat futures or whatever. It's just a commodity. Well, that little commodity has been recognized as being money for, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 years. But evidently, when pressed by Ron Paul, I remember watching Ron Paul questioning Bernanke, and he asked him flat out, he says, is gold and silver money? And he hem-hawed around about it, and he says, well, traditionally it used to be viewed as money, past tense. Yeah.
I love tradition. You know, here in New Jersey, they have us convinced that the right to bear arms, why, that means you can wear a short-sleeved shirt. But I don't understand how anyone could misunderstand this phrase in the Constitution. No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. That's not an amendment. That's Article 1, Section 8, and it's never been amended. So what Mr. Bernanke said was an outright lie. And these are things sometimes, unfortunately, central bankers have to do. They have to shield the truth, and occasionally they have to outright lie. And that was certainly one of the biggest whoppers he's told in quite a while.
Well, and the banking charter, I think that has to be renewed every 20 years. I think they've greased the skids on that one. They don't have to renew every 20 years now. They're here to stay.
But yeah, they have a perpetual charter now.
Yeah.
Right.
The number one job of the Federal Reserve was to deliver a stable currency to the people of the United States.
That's right. And this is to their credit why the Federal Reserve refused to provide bailout money during the first Depression. And this is what Mr. Bernanke criticized them for, because their argument was, our job is to make sure that the dollar stays sound. You're the people that created five times as much debt as there is money, so you deal with it. We're not creating any additional money. And that, I mean, to their credit, was their charge.
We've got about 3 minutes left here, Andy. This quantitative easing, these almost $17 trillion, and obviously Uncle Ben is going to open up the purse strings again. What is all this quantitative easing, what is that going to do to our economy?
Well, it's going to make it zoom, just in time for the election. So we're certainly going to have a roaring summer as it relates to economic activity. At least we'll get the feeling that things are heading in the right direction so that when we go to vote in the fall, we'll make the right decision. That's the general idea anyway. In my view, I think we're heading for big trouble. I predict a tsunami in the fall in our latest newsletter. In fact, you know what, while we're on that, I have three audio CDs. We've covered a lot of ground in this interview. One deals just with the Federal Reserve. If you've always wanted to know how this place operates, this CD will tell you. It's a half hour. The second one is the definition of money. Most people don't even know what money is, including Ben Bernanke. And three, protecting your wealth, what to do to protect yourself. You can get all three of these. Just mention that you heard it here. Three audio CDs. We'll send them to you free. The number to call is 800-468-2646.
All right. And, you know, why don't we just do away with the political system in this country? Why doesn't Ben Bernanke just run for president? He can have Hank Paulson as VP, and we can just get the politicians out of the way.
Yeah, or the senator from Goldman Sachs, Mr. Chuck Schumer. He might get in there, too.
I refer to Mr. Schumer as Chucky the Possum Schumer. Yeah, he's
very good.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I just absolutely love the guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and obviously you're predicting here that gold and silver is going to rise.
Oh yeah, that's like predicting that the sun's coming up tomorrow, because these politicians don't have the wherewithal or the political fortitude to do what has to be done. 40% of GDP is government spending. You start slashing government spending, you're slashing GDP. So they, in fact, there's a great report out by the GAO, the effects of easing the fiscal restraint. So they're already making the argument that if we don't cut so much, the economy will be more healthy.
Sounds good, but not practical,
yeah.
And it ain't going to happen.
No.
How long has Obama been in office? We still don't have a budget out of Congress?
In 3.5 years, though, he's managed to rack up more debt than the 219 years that preceded him. So we have more debt now than we ever had. So if that's the kind of change we were looking for, I think we need another change.
Yeah, it was about hope and change. Now people are hoping they have a little bit of change left. Hey, look, Andy, we're out of time here. Let's remind the listeners here of your website, Andy Gauss, spelled AndyGause.com. You can go to his website and call that toll-free number to get those free CDs, folks. I just love free stuff. I love the education factor behind the free stuff, because this man wants you to learn so you can in turn teach other people. That number, 800. And I'm telling you, brother, 800-468-2646 is a toll-free number. Get the free three CDs. Andy Gauss, I'm going to have you back, man. You're good.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you, brother. You're doing a great job.
All righty. Andy, speak to you soon, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, folks, we've got to take the break. I didn't want to get into any phone calls because I only had this guy for 50 minutes and I already skipped the last break, which puts me in contractual trouble. I'm going to have to make that up. Oh! We'll be back.